like lots of things, but there are three things I like most. Love, love, and love, and love, and love, and love. And love.
Frequency transmission receiving, 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 receiving. You're about to experience ultrasounds, an uplifting soulful journey into the spheres of exotic electronic music. Brought to you by DJ E-Love. This is the Ultrasounds Show, and my name is E-Love. I have a very special guest live from New York City, Anushka Shankar. Anushka, thank you so much, darling, for joining me. It's so much appreciated.
Good, pleasure, thank you.
Anushka's been playing sitar from age 9 under the guidance of her father and teacher, Ravi Shankar. And by the age of 13, Anushka made her performance debut with her father in New Delhi and also entered the recording studio for the first time. By 15, she was helping her father conduct along with a dear friend, George Harrison, on the Chance of India release. And at the very beginning of Anushka's musical path, it was her mother who encouraged Anushka's father, Ravi Shankar, to teach Anushka sitar. So I wanted to ask you, how was the experience of studying with your father and legendary sitar virtuoso and working with other notable musicians at such a young age?
Well, it was a lot of things, really.
Yeah, it's a big question.
As far as working with my father himself, it was fun. You know, it was something I was very aware of as being a vast musical tradition and a musical master and all of these things. But in my own life, he was my father.
Right.
And so being as young as I was, he definitely taught me in a slightly modified way than he would a more senior student who comes to him for finer training. He made it fun. He made it full of stories and games so that I would be entertained, so that I would enjoy the music. And, you know, as I sort of grew with that, it became more and more intensive over time. And so by the time I was performing, it was something I already felt comfortable with, even though it was, of course, like nerve-wracking, like it would be for anybody who's doing a debut or doing something big for the first time. I was also surrounded by artists and musicians my whole life, so it also felt like a very normal thing to do.
And what about living between India and England and California in those early years?
Again, because it's something that I did from the beginning, I found it very easy to adapt. I traveled between India and England first for many years. And then when I was about 11, I moved to California. And so all of these transitions became very easy. They were biannual to me. I would just switch into a different mode and be in India or be in San Diego and adjust very easily.
And has that helped you in terms of doing your tours and performance now?
Absolutely. I mean, the only thing that makes it harder is because we live in two places, touring as much as we do, you don't get much time in one place. When you have one home, at least you go back to that one place every time, and you get a little more grounding that way, which I miss at times. But culturally speaking, it's been a fantastic thing because I'm at home virtually anywhere, and I feel very lucky to be able to be that way.
And was there a lot of pressure as a young girl studying towards perfection, even though you said your dad was making it fun?
There's... The rest of the world was not. and that's kind of why I mentioned so clearly that it was really thanks to my parents that they made it a comfortable thing for me, because I was definitely aware that it was considered a bigger thing to a lot of people. You know, there's people who love him, love his music, and would sort of turn to me or write about me and, you know, talk about continuing the legacy and how it's my responsibility to take the art forward and all of that. And then on the other side, there's all these people who just kind of sneer, and it doesn't matter how much I do in my life. It's only because I'm his daughter and because of the opportunities I've gotten from that. So it was almost so insane, really, and so much of that it made it easier to ignore. Because I saw within a few years how I just wasn't going to win with those people and that they didn't really matter.
So you practiced detachment. Did you have, as a young child, any long-term visions of what you wanted to accomplish from an early age, or did things just simply unfold with the time?
A combination of that. I've always been very ambitious, but not really far into the future. I think I tend to plan within a few year period and have big plans for what I want to do and ways to make them realistic. But I know how things change. I know how 5 years later I'm a completely different person and want different things. So I don't really look all the way ahead.
And then what about your own personal spirituality? How does that influence your music?
It goes both ways, really. My music influences my spirituality as well. They're very linked up for me. And the music has been a real way for me to tap into the more abstract side of spiritualism, and a way to just feel it on a very personal, private, almost wordless level. As far as the other way around goes, that's something I feel like I've been getting very comfortable with, or more comfortable with, only over the last few years, I suppose. When I was very young, it wasn't as easy for me to emote that way and to share that very personal side, or even maybe have that side. But as that grows in me, I feel like my music has been reflecting that more.
It must have been a little bit of a difficult transition in terms of being able to have relationships with other kids, other people on a long-term basis, because of all the traveling and the amount of dedication involved in the practice alone.
I really see it as difficult and amazing all at the same time. So it's hard to say. I lived in two or three different countries at a time, so I always had a huge amount of friends. And from the very beginning, I was very good at letter writing. I used to write like 40 letters a month before email even showed up, you know, and valued my friends enough to make that kind of effort so that I could keep them in my life. And as far as being around people, I found, while adults may have looked at what I did and thought it was really amazing, every kid did something. You know, there were ice skaters, ballet dancers, skateboarders, you know. And mine perhaps was a little more high profile, but everyone had interests to share.
And you also play piano.
That's right.
And was that a study that you incurred during the same time period, or did you study?
Around the same. I had an interest in piano from even earlier, but I started playing piano when I was 11 or 12, I believe.
And did you play piano on this current album?
Well, it came in handy that I'd learned the piano because I did all the keyboards.
Right.
So definitely that helped me, but I didn't play actual piano. A pianist named Ricardo Minio, who plays in a flamenco style, and he's absolutely wonderful. So he plays piano on a few of the tracks.
And the whole album is really absolutely a gorgeous journey. There's not one track on it that doesn't somehow link to the other. Although they're very different in styles, there's something running through the whole album.
Thank you. And that's exactly what I tried to do, so thanks.
And when you decided to conceive the album, was there planning that went into it? You said that you plan a little bit ahead. Or, once again, did it evolve mostly through the actual recording process?
More the latter. This one was very funny and genuine in a way, because I actually was just taking a year off. I wasn't supposed to do any work at all. And I was planning to go backpacking with friends.
And did you go?
No, ended up making the album. So it was really just that at the beginning of that year, a friend had a studio free for a couple of months. So I thought, okay, we'll push it back a little and I'll just go in and see what comes out. And 2 months was enough that I worked on a few different ideas and saw that I was onto something that I really wanted to express and wanted to complete. And so that's when, you know, my plans changed and I went back to India with the conscious idea of making an album. And knowing I wanted it to go many places but not sort of fall on its face because of that, to have some kind of consistent thread running through it, to have it be very emotional and very personal and very much an expression of where I was right then.
You tuned in to WMNF 88.5, The Ultrasounds Show, and we're speaking with Anushka Shankar live from New York City. And in terms of bringing in the elements of electronic music, you've just done it so beautifully. It's so well balanced.
Thank you.
And was that something that you worked with other people together with, or did you do that, come up with the idea?
On a composition level, it was my own, similar to composing for one of the acoustic instruments.
Right.
I would have the ideas in my own head, but I'm not good with that, and I was very lucky to have one of the best people at that, Gaurav Rana. He's part of the Medieval Pundit.
Ah, yes.
And he did all of the electronics for me. He's a very close friend, and we worked together through most of the year, actually. And that was definitely something very important. I've listened to different types of electronic music for years, and there's a lot of incredible music out there from both sides that I listen to, but a lot of the times, people from the electronic side are very superficially using the Indian sound, or people from the Indian side think that that's very easy and will just stick some kind of loop underneath and think they're making lounge music or something to that effect. And I believe with any musical styles, you need a level of sensitivity or understanding towards them all having a genuine love for all of them, I wanted to try and combine them myself.
And then bringing in the combination of the East and West is not always the easiest to have that done in a balanced way.
Mm-hmm,
because of the Indian music being so complex and so different in format.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done that really wonderfully.
Well, thank you.
And speaking of collaborations and doing music with other people, are you having any plans for doing any collaborations with your sister, Nora Jones?
Plans. I mean, we tend to joke about it or talk about it now and then, but we don't have any concrete plans like an next album or anything like that. Which probably end up happening at some point.
And then what about plans for the next album? I know you're just out of this album now.
Creatively, there are many ideas in several different directions, both more on the Indian side and on the other side. But the way my next year has sort of turned out, I'm really just going to be touring Rise through the world and also being involved still in my father's project. So between both of those, it'll probably be a little time before I can get back to the studio.
And what about the Ravi Shankar Center?
Involved in that as well.
Yes. Would you tell us about that center?
It's several things. It's an archival facility. It has a recording studio. It's to some levels a teaching facility, but more in the very traditional Indian Gurukul style, where my father will take on a few students to learn from him and from his senior disciples. And it's also got a program for promoting young talent in different strains. We have an auditorium that does regular concerts, workshops, exhibitions. And so it's very new. It's been a couple of years now, but eventually we're really foreseeing that it would probably become some level of an important cultural center in New Delhi.
And do you see yourself teaching in the future?
Yes, I've dabbled in teaching so far. I don't feel like I'm ready to really apply myself there as yet. Fun with beginners, you know, there's a lot of dedication involved with really taking on students.
True.
It's something I would love to do in the future, but I don't see it really happening too soon.
And with your latest tour, are you going to be doing any more performances in America, or are you going to Europe now?
Now I'm heading back to India for a few months. And we come back to the States. We finished the full East Coast tour this autumn. We're doing the West Coast in April. And then I'll head out to Europe after that.
And hopefully back on the East Coast by popular demand.
Well, in the spring, what we're doing is my father's Festival from India tour. And then through the summer, I'll be touring Rise. So I'll probably be back with that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us, Anushka.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I wish you many blessings and much love.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ultrasounds, brought to you by DJ Elove.